clip from that that's going to set up my sermon today, and it's getting ready to come up now.
I just came out for some air.
I'm waiting for my Uber.
I don't know what that is.
How does it feel to be dying?
It feels like all these beautiful pieces of life are flying around me and I'm trying to catch them. When my granddaughter falls asleep in my lap, I try to catch the feeling of her breathing against me. And when I catch the sound of him laughing, how it rolls up from his chest. The pieces are moving faster now, and I can't catch them all. I can feel them slipping through my fingertips. And soon, where there used to be my granddaughter breathing and my son laughing, there will be nothing. I know it feels like you have all the time in the world, but you don't. So stop playing it so cool. Catch the moments of your life. Catch them while you're young and quick. Because sooner than you know it, you'll be old and slow. And there'll be no more of them to catch.
Sorry to start service off on such a drab note. But can I ask you a question? You had 1 week left to live. What would you do? 1 week. I guarantee you it wouldn't be sin. I'd get drunk every day. No, you wouldn't. 1 week left to live. What would you do? The reality is I want to start out with that because time is precious. And I know many of you are not facing an extreme situation. And you look and you think you have the rest of your life to look forward to. But here's the reality is tomorrow is not promised. But if you get a chance to live tomorrow, what are you going to do with it? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, why are you still alive? That's a weird question to ask somebody. But do you ever think about why? Some of you don't even ask you to raise your hand. People have died from stuff you've been through. People have snapped and in jail from stuff you've been through. Why are you still here out of all the mistakes that you made, out of all the people in your family? Why you? Why did you make the decisions you made? Why do you have the opportunity? I believe for the living there is hope. But here's the reality is all of us are going to die at some point. And dying is a reality of life. I've seen people in my position dying of cancer. And on their dying bed, do you know what they're talking about? They're not talking about their next house. They're not talking about their next car. They're not talking about clothes. They're talking about, I wonder what more I could do. I wonder who I can help. I want my family to be good. I want this one to do this. I don't know if you've ever seen somebody in the end stages when they have not HIV but AIDS. But I've seen a man sitting there on his bed, eat up with AIDS, and body's just shriveled up. And I won't share our conversation, but a part of it that he said, you know what I wish I would have done? I wish I would have listened. There were people who tried to tell me certain things. I blocked them out. I thought I knew them. He said, I thank God my life is right with God, but things could have been different. If I can just get one of you to listen this morning to let you know that your life can go on a different course if you just make the most of the time that you have. Watch this. Death is not a bad thing because to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When the saint of God dies, he is excited. He goes on to sleep. I knew a lady that when she died, she wanted all her family to come along and be around her. And they all held hands. And she said, Lord, I'm ready to go. Take me and all my children. All her children let her hand go. Said, you can go by yourself today, mama. Today ain't the day. I don't want to go till it's my time. But here's the reality about it. When you live, I want to die empty, honestly. I want to go to bed every night if it's my last. I gave it everything I had. I don't want to say I left anything back. I put it all on the table. If it failed, I tried it. But if it was in me, I'm going to do it, because life is too short to spend it on stupid stuff. Life is too short to spend it angry, mad, and miserable at the world. If I'm going to be here, why not make the most of it? Because I don't want to waste your time or my time. I think you come out on Sunday morning. I mean, just they may not tell you, but you don't have to come to church to go to heaven. You come to church to get built up. You come to church to fellowship. You come to church to hear the word of God. You get saved to go to heaven. But you come in here because you're looking for something. And if you got enough nerve to drive out here on a Sunday morning, I believe we ought to put our best foot forward to give you what your soul is looking for. Because you being here says, I'm looking for something. You passed 10 churches on the way here. You could have gone somewhere else. You could have stayed in the bed. They got streaming. We're streaming right now live. You could, I'm telling some of you now, I said, you should have told me before now. You could be in bed watching this. Come on out, it's better in person. But here's the reality. You come here, and I don't want to waste your time. So I picked an appropriate, I feel, title for my sermon today. Strong lady out of, who's in Congress, Maxine Waters. She said, I'm reclaiming my time. If you don't know the backdrop, you can go on YouTube. You can look up any social media outlet, type in Maxine Waters. She was in the middle of a congressional meeting, and she asked this guy a question, and the guy would not answer her question. So he kept talking, and she kept saying, reclaiming my time. He kept answering, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time, reclaiming my time. Finally, somebody had to intervene and said, when this lady asked a question on her time, you have to answer what she asked. There's a point in a saint of God life when you got to realize this is my time. And you need to tell fear, I'm reclaiming my time. You need to tell all your bad decisions, I am reclaiming my time. All the dumb, stupid stuff that is wasting your time, you got to draw a line in the sand and somebody say, I'm reclaiming my time. All of us have had our time wasted by pointless conversations. You ever had somebody just call you and talk to you when they got finished? You're like, I'm dumber now, like, as a result. Like, what? Don't say that. But, like, I'm not sure what we really talked about. Some of you have been in relationships that have wasted your time. Y'all talk back to me. You've done pointless conversations, pointless things. And said, what are we doing? I want to challenge you today to not waste your time. And here's the question that I want to ask you, and I want to challenge you. What are you going to do with the time given to you? What are you going to do? We all get the same 24 hours, but we all do different things with it. The man that's making $1 million, the guy who's starting a business, the person who's progressing in your company, got the same 24 hours you have. They just choose to do it different. Are you going to spend it whining? You going to spend it complaining? You going to spend it angry? Or are you going to make the most of the time you have? Do me a favor. This is just symbolic. Just look behind your shoulder. Just let everybody look behind your shoulder. Don't look at the person. Look behind your shoulder and just wave goodbye. And say, there's nothing I can do about my past. Say it again. There's nothing I can do about yesterday. All I have is right now. And I'm going to make the most of the moments I have. I think if you can come to that conclusion that there's nothing you can do about what has happened in times past, wave it goodbye and let's move forward in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you a couple principles of time so we can get where we're going. The first one is this. Time is a gift to accomplish a purpose. You have a gift called time. And it's a gift to accomplish a purpose. The next thing is this, you only have a certain amount of time. You only have a certain amount of time. You don't know how much time you have. I would love to say, man, when I see, I don't see him this morning, Mr. Allison, but when I see Mr. Allison walk here, one of our youngest members, he's 90-something years old. I said, God, at that age, I still want to be walking and as cool as he walks. Like, I want to still be vibrant, but the reality is I don't know. Jesus may come back before then. You don't know how much time you have. And next thing is this, you got to get time on your side. You get time on your side by knowing what you're doing in life. When you know what you're doing, you can make the most of the time you have. So here's how you do it. I'm going to teach you first how to identify the time wasters in your life. Because I think we waste more time than anything. I've gone to churches where we could have been out in an hour, and we've been there 3 hours. I'm like, what are we still doing? Like, y'all don't want to go home? Do y'all not like the people you go home with? Like, just being there forever. I've seen, this is no throw-off, I've seen preachers preach forever. I've seen songs. You ever had that song that went in? Like, just at any point, like, we can just go on and end this. Like, or you ever have the sermon where the preacher is like, he preaches 3 sermons in one thing. I think when we figure out where we're going, I'm serious. For most of you, it takes the same amount of time to get here every Sunday. Because it's a set route. I think life can be the same way when you learn how to do certain things. Because this, here's why Satan wants us to waste time. Because time is loaded with the potential to manifest your destiny that would change the world. And the enemy knows that if you lock into your purpose, you won't be stopped. I've seen people get delivered from, I know the reality is 2017, but I've seen people who say, I want to stop smoking weed. You know how I've seen them stop smoking weed? Not because I laid hands on them and they got oil laid on them, but because they found their purpose. And they found their purpose in life and said, if I keep doing this, it's going to cost me this. And they made a decision. I can't do this because I love this more. God will never just say quit. God always gives you something greater than what you're dealing with. God will never ask you to walk away from something that what he's not trying to give you is greater. If you're ever in a relationship and God said, this is not it, I need you to just step back, take away. If God brings it back together, it's going to be better. Or if whoever God's bringing is going to be better than what you had before. Because God does not waste your time. Anybody believe that in here? But the strategy of the enemy is to waste your time. And I'm going to show you how it happens. How many taboo players in here? I mean, like, you good, taboo. Michelle, you good for real? You decent? I need somebody that's good. I need somebody that's good. Torsha, you good? Michelle, come on, decent. Come on up. Torsha, Michelle, come on. Do you mind being in front of people? Y'all don't mind being in. Y'all don't embarrass Caesar, do you? All right. Would you rather be the one calling out the cards or the one answering? Answer. Torsha, you're going to be the one. You're going to be the one calling them out. So, Michelle, you can stand down there. Here's how I play. I don't play fair, and I love playing with Barbara because we are so competitive that I like to get up under her skin because I want her to fuss with me more than she's focused on those cards. So we go at it. She'll tell you we do. But here's the thing about taboo. If you never played it, she's got a card. She can't say the word. She has to describe it, but not using the words on the card. But she has a time limit. And then I have a buzzer. If she does something wrong, I can buzz her. I'm going to show you what life looks like through a game of taboo. Torsha, are you ready? Michelle, are you? I'm not really sure you are, but we're getting ready to see. Let's go.
Okay. It's a game.
That you know she don't know that.
I do.
No, she don't.
It's a game that me and love, and it's football. Basketball.
Okay. No, right. Okay. You don't even.
Basketball. Okay. In basketball.
Just go and put the cards down.
Okay.
That's the last one you're going to get.
Okay. A four-leaf clover represents luck. Okay.
Good luck.
Opposite that.
Lucky charm. Herb from the earth. Now, what you know about herbs?
Another word for that. Fabulous.
She don't know.
Okay, you put food in it.
She don't know.
It uses
that's not it. Just stop. Ziploc, that ain't got nothing to do with you. Your time is up. Good job. Give him a hand. Good job. Good job. Anybody, watch this. Anybody who knows taboo, am I allowed to do that?
No.
No. There's no way I can do that. Torsha let me. She from Jackson. I thought she may pull a blade out. That's fine. But here's the reality. Do you know what Torsha could have done? She could have laid this clock to the side and said, I'm reclaiming my time. You've got to shut up. Many of us let the devil just talk crazy to us all day in our ear, just reminding us of stupid stuff, talking us out of what God said. At a certain point, you got to stop. Wait a minute. This is enough. I will not listen to another dumb thing that you tell me. I don't care if you bring up my past. I'm reclaiming my time because I have to be focused. What did you have to do, Torsha? You had to block me out, right? And I got on your nerves after a while, right? You're going to say, I got on your nerves, didn't I? You know, the reality is we tolerate stuff that we don't have to tolerate. There are certain things in your life that you just say, you know what, enough. I deserve to be treated better than this. No, I know my worth. I know who I am. I know what God wants me to be in life. And you got, hey, stop the clock for a minute because we can't continue like this. Somebody say, I'm reclaiming my time. But if you don't reclaim your time, there are time wasters. Time wasters you don't realize. One of the biggest time wasters is fear. Fear will waste your time because it'll tell you what could happen that God doesn't want to happen. And let me tell you the way fear works. Fear makes you, faith grows because you meditate on something. So if you want faith to grow, whatever area it is, you get it in your ear, you look at it all the time, and you build your faith because it's like a muscle. Fear works the same way. That's why when I'm in fear, I don't need everybody talking to me, because you're allowed to put something in my spirit and I think about it all day long. Fear will have you have your kids in a bubble. You'll be afraid to send them to daycare. You'll be afraid to send them to school because they're going to get some plague that ain't been here in 50 years. And then you're going to have to miss work. And then you and your husband are going to lose your house. And y'all going to be walking around with cut-off blue jean shorts and no shoes, dirty, because y'all lost everything. And it started with one cough. One cough. It can start one morning. Your spouse is running late to work, and they give you just a peck on the cheek, and you walk out, and they get out the window. They ain't kiss you like they normally kiss you. I wonder who they really kissing. Who they really? No, I'm serious. It start like that. Y'all look straight ahead. Who they really thinking about? Oh, some of y'all looking at each other. You didn't kiss me this week. All these things just going through your mind, and it's just fear. And fear will tell you these stories that are not true, but they will become true if you believe them. Because fear works if you work it, but faith does too. Fear messes with me. Fear, let me be honest, in every big moment of my life, fear told me, don't do it. And I think if it's God, I would hear, go, Jason, this is the Lord. I figure little angels would just show up and just have a little parade for me. No. They didn't. Before we got ready to start this church, something said, don't do it. And they said, don't do it. This is not you, Jason. It's going to fail. You're going to look stupid. And I started the church, and we started in Quality Inn, and I watched them clean up the little donuts and stuff. I said, God, what in the world? Then the first year, my sister died, and Satan said, I told you you shouldn't have started this church. The next year, my brother died, and Satan said, I told you you shouldn't have started this church. And he's building up all of his facts, and I'm thinking, am I doing something wrong? All the time that he's telling me these lies, I'm not really focused on what God wants me to do. Right before we got married, I was just in the back room, and I was sitting there. Barbara felt the same way. And I was sitting there, I was all happy, and all of a sudden something hit me. I said, you sure about this? Don't look at me. You sure about this? And then I looked back at the tape, and Barbara was nervous too, walking down that aisle. I said, were you nervous? She said, yeah. And I said, what you nervous for? You about to marry the best man in the world. I'm feeling the same way. Satan would say, you sure? This is the one woman for the rest of your life. And all these things were talking out of it. Of course she's nervous. She's moving from Texas to Tennessee where she don't have a job just to trust me and trust that she's following love. She's leaving everything that she knows. And I'm sitting here like, Lord, what in the world? I hope I got this stuff together. I hope you done dealt with me, because here's the reality. You know you better than anybody. I'm going to preach to this side. This is the keeping 100 side right here. You know you better than anybody in the world. And I'm just saying, God, and all these things going, but it's wasting my time. Because here's the reality. Can I talk about marriage? Most people try not to have a divorce instead of being married. Yeah. Most of you are trying not to lose your job instead of being promoted. You're trying not to fail. The reality is you might fail, but pick it up and do it again. Any bicycle riders in here? Anybody ride a bicycle? Anybody ever had a wreck on a bicycle? Did you throw your bike in the trash the first time you wrecked? Stupid bike. No, you got back on it, bloody knees and everything, and rode it. Life is the same way. But fear will waste your time. You know what else will waste your time? Addictions and strongholds. Talk to people addicted to crack and say, listen, man, I got off that stuff, and I went back to those places trying to help the people and went back in there, and 2 weeks later, I'm back smoking it. I didn't sign up to be like this. I'm missing moments of my life. And when you talk about all the time they spend, like, talk about the time they wasted being addicted. Anything that you're addicted to, it takes you away from your normalcy. And it creates a new normal where you start justifying foolishness. You think everybody's living that way. Everybody got issues. Everybody dealing. We are. But watch this. We're dealing with it. It's not dealing with us. Big difference. All of us got issues. But you got to learn to keep them under subjection, because their goal is to talk you into a life of failure, into a life of mediocrity, and you accept it like it's normal. It is not normal. You got to identify time wasters, and I'm through with this. Can I challenge every single person in here? Don't let no joker waste your time. You think about marriage, and he think about the next cruise going somewhere, and ain't a bit more thinking about marrying you. On our honeymoon, you remember that? We were sitting at the table, and everybody at our table was married, or we thought. And we were walking around. They asked, how long you been married? We said, a month. No, a week. Another couple a month. Another couple was there 25 years. And Barbara asked this one couple, how long y'all been married? The woman just kind of looked crazy. I don't know if she was supposed to be there or not. And I said, bro, how long you been married? He said, we still kicking it. I think she was hoping a ring was going to show up on that cruise, and that brother just there to have a good time. 30-year age gap, and I'll let you guess which one was older. Make sure you're going in the same direction. If not, you are wasting your time. Can I talk to every joker in here? Don't waste nobody's time. If you know you're not serious, if you know you're not going to get it together, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from another. Amen. I'm going to tell you, seriously, it's crazy to mess with somebody's mind. No, I done seen too many windows busted out. I done seen too many people with claws. Y'all look at me straight. Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Down the side of their face, and you arguing and fighting because you wasting somebody's time. Don't do it. Neighbors, don't do it. I'm going to tell you how to reclaim you. I done got way off where I'm going. Thank you. Here's the first thing to reclaim your time. Focus. Ephesians 5 and 15 is my scripture. You know, I wonder, when are you going to read the Bible? Ephesians 5, 15. Reverend ain't read no Bible yet. It says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but wise. You got to focus. Look carefully means to focus. When you focus, your tunnel vision. There's a, I read a book, this a young lady gave Barbara and I a book, and it's about marriage. And one of the lines that she's a very successful lady. One of the lines that she wrote in there that makes sense about how she feels about her marriage, she said, my whole life I've always dreamed of being a great wife. I can tell that's her focus because she aligns everything that she does, her business, around her marriage because she said, I want to be a great wife. I think that should be the end goal. You should focus on something and put your mind and go in that direction. Focus, people are aware of whose time they're on. You ask yourself these two questions. Am I on your time or my time? When I'm on somebody else's time, I don't waste it. I learned this the hard way. I got a swift rebuke from my boss once. I wrote an email that was too long to her, her boss, and her boss's boss. And she rebuked me the next day and said, never waste our time. Tell us what you want. We are busy. That sounds rude. That sounds arrogant. But if you have had somebody stop you and want to tell you their whole life biography and everything that happened to their kids, and you got 3 minutes and you're trying to be nice, but you ain't listened to half of what they said, there's nothing wrong with saying, ma'am, I got about 3 minutes. Can you make this quick? How rude are you? It's rude of me to sit here and act like I'm listening. No, y'all, I'm telling y'all common sense stuff. Your time is precious. I'm not telling you to hurt anybody's feelings, but we waste a lot of time because, watch this, most of the stories I've told people, they can solve in 1 minute if I would listen. Question, am I on your time or am I on my time? When I know whose time I'm on, it governs who is responsible in that moment to make sure that what happens needs to happen. That makes sense in here? All right. The next thing is this. This is going to be tough for many of us. You got to make tough decisions with your time. Ephesians 5:16 says, make the best use of the time because the days are evil. This is going to be a hard pill for many of you to grab, but everybody's not going to get it. They're not. You may want them to, but they're not because they don't want to. There are some people who are living now because you are supporting them. They don't have any problems because you got all their problems. That makes sense? You got to make a decision. Where is my time best spent? I am a classic because I love everybody. I can be an enabler and I go too far. Instead of letting people do what they should do, I go do over and above for them. I'm not going to stop being mean, but I got to do a better job of setting boundaries. My big mama said something that was so true. They were trying to teach a young lady, a baby how to walk. And Big Mama said something that's so true. She said, if you put her down, she'll walk. Life is the same way. You're carrying stuff that if you'll let it go, it'll live. It will. You holding stuff dear to your heart. You got to make the tough decisions in life. There's some people who are wasting your time and you know it. And you want to address it. Or if I address it, they may walk away. What are they going to do? How is living in hell working? There are certain things that you have to address, even within yourself. I got real quiet on that one. There are tough decisions that you have to make if you're going to move forward in life. It's not about being mean. It's saying, this is the direction we're going in. Can we go here? Those are tough decisions because many of us are coddling stuff that is holding us back. And now the whole world around you is frustrated because all you do is complain about it instead of being about it. You got to make the tough decisions because you got to figure out, what's the best use of my time? What am I wasting my time on, and who needs more of my time? The last thing, and I'm through, is this. You got to find out why God gave you the time that you have. Ephesians 5:17 says this, Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what is the will of the Lord. Look at your neighbor and say, don't be foolish. To understand and not be foolish, you have to be a learner and a listener. You got to build a repertoire of information, because all the stuff you're hearing now, you're not going to need now. A lot of stuff my parents tried to teach me when I was younger made no sense until I got married and had a son. I can always tell where people are in life by what they do. I can tell who don't pay an electric bill by how you set your thermostat and if you leave every light on in the house. You can always tell. I can tell people who, I love to see people who get in a relationship, been in it 3 weeks, and they want to give the whole world relationship advice. I'm like, you just met him 3 weeks ago, and people have been married 20 years. I don't see how y'all sit up there and look like that. That's because when you date, they are at their best. They fix up. You don't have roommate issues. You don't go through all this silly stuff, and life is just perfect. Y'all right in here? Those goosebumps you get while you're dating, you got to learn how to make them when you're married. There are certain things that are not foolish now that when responsibility hits you, you'll figure out, I was really foolish. Does anybody look back on some things in your life and say, I don't know what in the world I was thinking? Yeah, my big mama's got this picture up of me in her house, and my friend cut off half my box, and I'm not really sure why, and I just had this weird box. It was just over half my head, and the other half was just laying down. I guess he was just trying something today. I was like, what was I thinking? Y'all laughing, but some of you can look back at your dating history. You can look back at your choice of hairstyles. You can look back at your choice of whatever and say, come on, anybody like me, say, what in the world was I thinking? But when you reclaim your time, you say, not another foolish moment. I got to figure out why God gave me the time that I have. And here's the thing I'm closing with. All of us have stuff in our lives that is wasting our time. For the longest, fear wasted my time. There are certain decisions, thank you, that I made this year. But fear stopped me from making them. Fear told me a story of what was going to happen if I did it. Can I tell you the truth about fear? Y'all look at me. Fear will bring up actual data in your life. Actual mistakes and tell you, if you do this, this is going to happen. You can't do that. Nope. No, you know you did this. And you're held in a prison of guilt and shame. Some of us are distracted. Your time is being wasted by anger. You mad at people don't even know you're mad at them. You're trying to prove people wrong. They ain't paid you no attention. You're tweeting about them, posting about them. And you don't even register on their radar. You're wasting your time with silly stuff. I want you to do me a favor. I gave you an index card, every person in this room. We're going to reclaim our time today. I want every person in here that can write down something that's wasting your time. If it's a relationship, don't write their name. Just write relationship. I don't know your handwriting, but don't write their name. If it's anger, write down anger is wasting my time. If it's lust, perversion. If it's procrastination, what's wasting your time? What's wasting your time? Because I believe in order for something new to begin, something has to end. Why are we writing this down? Because I'm making a declaration. This is not good. I can't continue living like this. What am I allowing to distract me? What do I need to reclaim my time from? Many of you have lived in the prison of what people think about you way too long. I'm not telling you to go to the other end of the world. Well, you like Tupac, forget what the rest of the world. No. I'm telling you to get confidence. What is wasting your time? I want you to write it down. What's wasting your time? What is telling you you can't when God says you can? What are you going to reclaim your time from today? I want you to write it down. And when you write it down, I want you to ball it up. And I want you to stand to your feet if you don't mind. Something's getting ready to happen in your life. This may seem like chaos for a moment, but trust me, something's going to be released from your spirit. We get saved when we proclaim Jesus. You have to denounce some things. And we're going to turn this is a place, an altar, a place of sacrifice, where you get rid of some stuff. And this thing that has been holding you back, no more. You are telling fear or whatever, I'm reclaiming my time. Father, I thank you that whatever's written on these pieces of paper, that today is the last day that it drives our life. And as I release this to you, you will never ask me to give up something that you don't give me something greater. So whatever bad habit, whatever stronghold, whatever distraction is holding me back, I release it today in Jesus' name. This may seem like chaos for a moment, but I want you to do me a favor. If you want to get rid of this, if you want to lay it at the altar, I want you to come from wherever you are. Throw it out the altar, come to the middle aisle, and go back down the back aisle. I want you to come and just lay it down wherever you are right now. Just come, throw it at the altar. Come from wherever you are.
Jesus, you made all things made.